is knowing.
All right, Mal, welcome to Pro 777 Radio. This is a 0.5 episode, which is to say it will be roughly an hour as opposed to two or more. Jason Lindgren is with me and Teresa Bukola comes back. I want to say a word about this episode before you get into it. This will be hour one, which actually it's not a full hour. This is 580.5. This is a 0.5 episode, which means the bulk of the episode is on the website for members. Teresa Bukola contacted us way back. We did two episodes with her. The numbers were 522.5 and 479. You may remember Fortune de Saint-Germain saying we had a real opportunity in 2020 and we blew it. We didn't stand up and everything would have changed had we done so. Teresa's one of the people who did stand up. And she's basically kicked butt and took names. And I imagine she's probably going to get paid big. But when they shut her beach down illegally and started all their lockdown nonsense, she took on the law. She learned the law and she faced them down. And she's done very well. And I urge people to go catch what she's done, not just in episode 580.5, but all the way back to where this started, where we began to cover it. In episode 479, and then again in episode 522.5. This is a life lesson. If a lot of people would have acted in this way, we would be standing in a different world right now. Also, before you jump into this very important episode and this very important individual who can teach us all something about how we should conduct ourselves, I want all the people who used to be members or are not currently members to be aware that I am actively posting solar investigation videos for members at crow777radio.com. For those of you who don't know, the second sun or the sun we don't see, I located again on 6/6/24, ironically D-Day, but on the 6th of June, we located it again, and I've learned a few things. We managed to get one screenshot that day due to chemtrailing and cloud cover, but I posted that video for members on the website, and I will continue to track this down. By the way, the SLU Observatory openly admitted in 2016 that there is a second sun, told us all that NASA knows about it, told us all that they are hiding it. That's not going to go on for much longer. And so if you want to come be a member, you'll be supporting that work as well. Anyhow, jump into this very important episode. Teresa's one of my heroes. During COVIDius, she stood up, and not only did she stand up, she held people that were breaking the law to account, and she's probably about to win big. The first episode that we had Teresa on was 479. The second one, also a 0.5 episode, is 522.5. You might want to catch those. Here's the gist of it. When COVIDius minimus hit, there was this terrible double entendre of control put in place. For years, people have been mistrained in positions of authority. As an example of that, I was in law enforcement before I went into the Marine Corps during the first Gulf War. Back in those days in law enforcement, people had rights, which had also diminished by that time. But if you wanted to detain someone, you needed to tell them. If you wanted to arrest someone, you need to inform them what they were being arrested for. If you wanted to investigate them as a suspect, you couldn't just throw them in a car and drive them wherever you wanted to try to prove your case. You had to detain them right there, tell them what was going on, go get the witnesses, bring them back for whatever they used to call it, the curb stone lineup, or I forget. In other words, there were all these perceived rules in place that needed to be adhered to, which you don't really see anymore. And this is wholly, I think, due to training. Now back to COVIDius. When COVIDius hit, all these things were put in place which urged people in authoritative positions to do the wrong thing. Pressure and public opinion was brought to bear on them to get them to break laws, to forget rules, to not treat people with respect. That's where Teresa comes in. They went to shut her beaches. And she looked up the laws and said, this is illegal. And she stood her ground and she did it alone. She was taken down more than once by the police. And we're going to catch up on where things have happened. But as I understood it before, I think the chief of police became a security guard. Well, we'll let Teresa catch us up on all this. Anyhow, welcome, Jason. Is there anything you'd add before we get Teresa in?
What a great job you have done standing up to these people and their freaking nonsense.
It's kind of a catch-22 because it feels to me like the people pulling the strings, if you didn't do anything and let your rights be violated, then it was a win for them. If you did stand up and you forced the system to recognize its own rules, then people lost their jobs and you kind of eroded the infrastructures and system, which isn't that big a loss, to be fair, when people aren't following the rules. But let me shut up. Welcome back, Teresa. Such an honor to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me back. And it's really thrilling to be able to speak with you guys again. And, you know, one thing that I observed during that time was that our public servants became intoxicated with the amount of power that they were able to wield over their bosses. But instead of looking at us as their bosses, they regarded us as serfs. And one thing that I forgot to mention in the past couple of episodes that I've been on with you guys, because I only just realized this a few weeks ago, most people don't know what it's like to approach Carmel Beach. It's actually sunken below the bluff. And so when I drove down there that day, I could see from one side of the beach all the way to the other, from 50 feet up, a standing army lay siege to a part of the coast. And I also went through their agendas, Carmel's agendas for that year. And that started, I think it was July until the end of the year. And they had posted, if you can believe this, that sunbathing, bringing a cooler, an umbrella, or a chair onto the beach, or group gatherings, which another way to put that is peacefully assembling, and you would do 6 months in jail.
All of which are illegal.
Of course.
By existing laws. So basically, the Carmel City Council or whoever was putting this forward had been enticed to ignoring statutes on the book to simply take away the rights of people who had codified rights.
That's right. And the people were scared because the chief of police did an interview with the local paper where he said that if you brought a chair onto the beach, and among all of these other innocuous, well, protected activities, he was going to fill out a police report. They were filling out police reports, and you could face a jury trial for bringing a chair onto Carmel Beach. And this was so astounding when I read it. And, you know, I did stand up to it. And this whole practice that apparently has changed since when you were a law enforcement officer, Crow, it really has to stop, because they chain you like property, like a slave. And a lot of the times, you know, they're giggling, they start putting their hands all over you. It's really horrific, and it happens thousands of times a day. And obviously, you know, in our last episode, in case people haven't listened to that, I had three criminal charges filed against me by the local police department. One was, if people can believe it, entering a disaster area, possession of a tear gas weapon, which I did not have, and resisting an officer. And I walked into court last July after, you know, a lot of research, and got them all dismissed. And these illegitimate warrants that were issued for my liberty, I got them recalled. And I filed a lawsuit against the four officers and the two public entities. And that has been, in June, at the end of June, it will be a 2-year-old litigation. And I did not hire an attorney, and yet I am 200 docket entries in, which I can't even believe when I log on to Pacer and I scroll through, and I can't believe I'm hanging in there that long. And there have been some very interesting developments recently regarding the case.
All right, let me jump in here. Before I want to hit these bullets, so I'm thinking, Jason, maybe we'll just read each bullet to make sure we hit them. We'll do it in roughly an hour, a little bit more, but I want to ask a question before we jump into this. Since you did this, do you feel like what was going on at the beach has stopped?
Oh, yes. I think I talked about this in the first episode, which is when they closed it and the irony of them doing it during the weekend that the country celebrates its liberation from tyranny is, it's just so staggering.
Planned.
It was planned. And it was all according to one unelected politician's opinion. So my mayor and this unelected politician, 2.5 weeks before, they had invited people from all over the country to come visit our beach. And they said it's the most spectacular beach in the state of California. The great outdoors are always open. Please come. And then that morning of the weekend, the unelected politician changed his mind and decided that no, it was going to be quote unquote closed, which is really Concord. And people came from all over the country and there was police tape all along the beach because it was so easy for them that weekend. You know, it was really like taking candy from a baby that they did it again 2 months later for Labor Day. But this time, because I had a little bit more knowledge and advance notice, I wrote a notice of violation and I had it delivered to 5 local officials, the sheriff, the mayor, the chief of police, the health director, and the city manager. And then I showed up with 11 of my friends and the beach was entirely closed again and deserted, except for a few people that were in the water. And my friends and I showed up and cut all the police tape down. And there was one police vehicle that had been prowling the water's edge exactly like it was 2 months later. He beelined it for us. He made a sharp right off the beach. And they told the spectators that they were waiting for us to arrive and the beach was going to be open. And half an hour later, after the people started pouring in through the hole that we had cut in the police tape, it was packed. So yeah, I stepped in and took action and the whole thing was a house of cards and all you had to do was blow on it. And they remembered who's boss around here and that's the people.
This is the point that Fortune de Saint Germain made about 2020 and what an opportunity lost it was. For my part, I had a mask on for minuscule minutes during that whole time. I was booted out of more places than I can recall, but what Teresa did was she blew on the house of cards that Fortune was talking about. Had any significant number of us stood for the rights that we forfeited by acquiescing to basically tyranny, that's what's led to the world we are. But Jason, let's pick up.
And that's the end of the free portion of episode 580.5. Join us in the members section of crow777radio.com for the remainder of the episode. That's CRROW777radio.com.
belief is the enemy of knowing.